Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. The show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. If you go to MobiusStripPress.com and ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, you will get, I believe, all the information and details you would need to understand Republic Review and this auditing concept that I talk about. And the whole gist of my argument, I mean, the entire thesis is right there on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I've got books and other articles on MobiusStripPress.com. As always, you are listening to the only show that is asserting a constitutional solution to our constitutional crisis. It is Republic Review that will get the general government back into the framework of the Constitution. That being said, the show is dedicated in supporting the state legislators who possess the authority and power and who are willing to commit to protecting their citizens from federal tyranny. This show is dedicated to them. What this means is that I'm trying to support those who are willing to protect all of us from federal tyranny, because when one state legislator stands up against federal tyranny, they're standing up against federal tyranny for all of us, because they're calling out the federal government for that. And so I have a lot more, I would say, ratification debates to go through and to offer you in giving you another mountain of evidence that the states possess all the authority and the power here. And so we will get into those once we get through the kind of the introduction stuff here. And so, as I always say, and I did check, I went through the news, and I've even checked outside, I've looked around, there is no sign that the federal government is disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. And with that, that means that it's left to us. We're going to have to do this. So I still have this question. By all means, the phone line is open. If you want to call, what or where in the Constitution gives the federal government the authority to create and manage land reservations for any purpose, form, function, what have you? If you know where that is in the Constitution, then please let me know, and we will be informed, and we can elucidate you, and everybody will know where in the Constitution this power is delegated to the federal government to do just that, to create and manage land reservations. And so I hope I can get a caller or somebody that can help me out with that. And I also want to do the plug for Red Pill Expo. It's out here in Spokane. It will be June 21st to the 23rd. If you go to redpillexpo.org, you will be able to get your tickets. They will be previewing Dead Man Talking, a documentary that you will never forget. And as a matter of fact, I think they still have a few albums left for the first 350 people that purchase a ticket. They will receive a album of last year's, you know, the DVD, all the footage of last year's expo. So with that, I want to kind of go down this talk about how progressives are taking two approaches to push us closer to democracy and away from a Republican form of government. I'm not sure if you're following this. And I've been telling those folks that happen to be a part of the Convention of States that there is this move by the Democrats and the progressives to get us out of the Electoral College, and they're trying to do any means necessary. So one of the ways that they're going down this path is they're trying to create a pact. They're trying to get dark blue states to basically sign a pact. And by the way, Article 1, Section 10, basically makes it unconstitutional for states to create a pact like this. That's why what they're doing is an outright violation of the Constitution, and they're waiting for somebody with constitutional wit to be able to point that out. And I'm not sure if you're hearing that from any of the other, you know, constitutional front benchers, but I will tell you that if you read Article 1, Section 10, Subsection 1, it's right there that the states cannot create treaties, pacts, whatever you want to call it. They do not have the ability to do and go down that path of creating that pact. It's unconstitutional. Well, the other form of, or the other process that they're going down, I think I just mentioned it, is that they're trying to create a constitutional amendment, or basically, how do you say, what did we do with the prohibition? They rescinded it, or there was an amendment that actually got rid of that. I guess the form is rejecting, but what they want to do is go through the Constitution in a convention of states in the Article 5 process. They want to go down this path of amending the Constitution so that it will literally go to a popular vote. And so that is a very dangerous path, moving this nation towards a popular vote, not just for presidency, but if everything else will follow behind that, because all of a sudden they're just saying everybody's vote should count. Well, no, everybody's vote shouldn't count. And as a matter of fact, back in the framers' days, not everybody was able to vote. It was only the landowner, whoever that was, regardless of their gender, regardless of their ethnicity. If you were a landowner, you were able to vote. And in most of the states, they even allowed women to vote long before the women's suffrage was passed. So anyway, I think it's important to point out these constitutional issues as they start to come out, because it's probably not on the forefront of the news, and it's probably not something that you're talking about or listening to, but there's some water cooler talk for you, because these problems of trying to push us towards a democracy will be prevailing for quite a while. And that's because bad ideas always grow legs, and they just seem to, you know, regardless of how you kill them, they just seem to come back to life. I also wanted to point out that Trump is basically, in one of his executive orders, has stepped into welfare. And what he's done is he's reducing the able-bodied adults enrolled in the system will now have to help to ensure that they, if they're able to go out and get a job, they're going to have to go get a job. They're going to have to seek employment and what have you. And what this does is this enables the single mothers who truly need public assistance to get in the front of the line when life inevitably happens. Now, I want to let you know that this exact same policy was instituted back in Johnson's day. And what this does is it promotes single mothers. In other words, you're going to make more if you have a broken home. And we've got to get away from this. We have to start abandoning these types of things that are destroying the family and destroying our society. And it's unfortunate that this whole thing was, I believe, brought by faith-based people with good intent, but it has a very nefarious undertone that is very destructive to our society. We need to move the welfare system out of the government's hands and back into where it belongs, into the communities and faith-based organizations, period. That's who should be administering it. Let them start dictating how they want to take care of the people, and let them, you know, basically take care of their own and force the secular progressives to actually start contributing at a local level to these types of things. Because what they've done, what the secular progressives have done, is not contributed to their own community. They've gotten government to take from you so that they take care of that instead of everybody in the community pitching in and helping out. And to me, that is really nefarious. But let me move on. I also wanted to talk about the most irrelevant person in the Senate, because I've talked about him a couple of times, and how McCain is rejecting Haspel's nomination. And this goes down this path that I've kind of talked about before, about controlling one's brand and how important this is. I want you to know that corporations would not allow, and so if you understand Republican, Democrat, these are brands. There's no way a corporation would allow somebody to continue. The Republican Party should have stripped McCain from the Republican label a long, long time ago when he started going down this communist path of campaign finance reform and all of those things way back in the 90s. This guy had already proven that he was a problem and more of a communist or more of a progressive than he was a true constitutional conservative. And so I know I don't have hardly any time because I'm expecting a hard break any second. And as a matter of fact, there it is. I want to get back into this, what we have to do to fix this, and then we'll get into some ratification debates. So we will be right back after a word from our sponsors. So thank you so much. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? As you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after moving into this area. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a great patriot and a dentist who cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VaughnTracyDDS.com. That's VaughnTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me, it's great to have a great dentist. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I'm trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their Constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
And so let me start off with this, because we were going into the break and I started talking about how important, how critical it is to control your brand. And the failure of the Republican Party in controlling their brand has done nothing but damaged us. And so most people think, well, you know, if you look at the Republican Party, it is the galumphry, or it is just a quagmire of all sorts of different types of people with different types of ideals and so forth. And so I will say this, that we need to start applying constitutional tests. As a matter of fact, Republicans need to start taking the position that it has to be constitution over party. Most people would go and kind of, when you put it into context, what is more important, the country or the party? In other words, would we rather see the benefits going to the party and getting people elected, or would we rather see the party put to the side and doing things for the betterment of the country, and i.e. that country being the Constitution, because this country is a constitutional republic. So therefore, the best things for a constitutional republic is making sure that we're honoring and committed to supporting, defending the Constitution. And so we have to start putting constitutional tests to anybody that wants to wear that brand. And as a matter of fact, are you involved at a local level? Are you a precinct committee officer? Are you a district leader? Are you some type of chair in a central committee with the Republican Party, or even any of the grassroots parties, the Constitution Party or the Libertarian Party? Call. Because I will tell you, there is not an organization out there right now that has not taken control of their brand. And the brand is being damaged, and where it is controlled is at the county level. Most people think that it's at the national level. That doesn't control the brand, but that's what's been controlling the brand. And that's why we have this problem. So the counties have to take the brand back, and the counties have to start putting out platforms that completely align with the Constitution. And I have literally witnessed all sorts of problems within the different platforms that have come forth out of the different groups and states and so forth. And the problem is that they don't recognize all the unconstitutional things that are going on. And so, you know, they go and they allow the progressives to dictate the narrative. And so we try to take positions on schools for the government. Bottom line, the federal government has no position constitutionally on education. So we should draw the line in the platform that says the federal government should only do those things that are enumerated. And these things that it is doing are all unconstitutional. That's how you start taking back a constitutional position in moving that platform forward. Because as that starts percolating from the bottom up, that starts to resonate. And I will tell you that you will probably have a huge revolt by the establishment if they find out that you're really trying to push the Constitution, because the Constitution's a problem for the establishment. They don't care about it. They don't want to honor it and or follow it. So therefore, that's why you have to kind of get rid of them as you start percolating this stuff up. Because if you've gone through these conventions, the conventions are really controlled by the lower states and units. I mean, you go to your state convention and you select delegates, and those delegates move forward. If you start setting the tone at the county level, which will then gravitate out to the state level, then the states will start sending constitutional delegates, ensuring that the platform moving forward recognizes the Constitution as the centric foundation of the party, and therefore that platform will then resonate for constitutional issues and constitutional positions. So what central committees have to do in doing some of this is, at the very beginning of the election process, which is not now, the beginning of the election process is when the election ends, because that is when your new employee, your public servant, goes out to serve you. And most politicians will tell you that they're the most important people there. And they want to control the central committees. They want to, because they usually have that kind of ego. But politicians are actually public servants. Go check the Constitution, Article 6. They have to take an oath. And they are public servants. Who do they serve? Well, technically, they're serving their constituents, but the people that are endorsing them and the most critical people that endorse them is those people that allow them to wear that brand, which is the County Central Committee. And so, especially at those lower level state legislatures and so forth. Therefore, what you have to do is as soon as that list of winners at the end of the election, you can tabulate that list and you can put it forth and say, okay, here's our public servants that are representing this county. And what you do is you have a big corporate meeting or you bring in your central committee and you go through the list of everybody that won the election and you start asking, does this person really represent us? Because obviously, this past election, the election that we're heading into right now, it's too late to start nurturing and developing a candidate because that takes 2 years or more. Therefore, what you do is you just say, okay, we're going to let the chips fall where they may. We're going to take who wins and we're going to support, all the Republicans at this point. And then we're going to send the shot across the bow. We're going to let them know that they are no longer getting rubber stamped by us. And as a matter of fact, here's our expectations. Just like a corporation has strategic goals and tactical goals, a corporation then communicates down to their employees and says, these are the things that we are focused on, and we want your objectives to align with our focus. If not, then we have to go through some motivational things to help you align with the corporation, or you have to let you go because we need people that are going to tout the company line. Now, again, if the company is only focused on just, Republicans winning and those types of things, then we're going to lose every battle. But if our focus is on the Constitution, then our politicians are going to be focused on the Constitution because we're going to tell them what they need to do. We're going to send out to them our expectations. And then after their first term or halfway through their term, you basically ask for a roll call to say, hey, how are you doing so far on our objectives? How many bills have you voted for where you actually voted for taking unconstitutional federal grant money or federal dollars to put in road calming or put in some type of infrastructure where that money does not exist and that power, role, and responsibility does not exist within the federal government. And so they're giving you unconstitutional money and you're taking that? We have to start drawing the line. And the problem is that too many people would rather take the lucre from federal government and allow the problem to persist. And if we continue to do this, my friends, then that Constitution and this constitutional republic will implode. We have to take positive measures in taking back this party and this country and this Constitution. And the only way to do that is, again, to become constitutionally centric. Therefore, after you go through this first year and you realize these people that aren't going to be very supportive of the Constitution or you think aren't going to do well, then you got to get motivated, getting your PCOs out, finding somebody, whether they be a PCO, a district leader, or even Joe off the street that is a good constitutional person. You get them interested, you get them, you start supporting them, you start nurturing them, and you prepare them in the next 2 years, 4 years, whatever that term is that Yahoo just got elected into, and you let that person know, oh, by the way, here's the guy we're replacing you with, and we're going to send him out there so that you can meet him and kind of show him the ropes because we're planning on endorsing him instead of you. What kind of shot across the bow would that be? And I think politicians, just like anybody else, have this self-preservation gene. They don't want to lose their job. So if you start setting expectations, most of them are going to tout the line and they're going to come on board with making the Constitution centric. Well, with that, it's time for another break. I'm sorry for the rant, but we will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. This show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so since I'm done with that rant on what we need to do at the party level, as a matter of fact, the party's bylaws really need to reflect a very centric position on the Constitution, ensuring that the vetting process has good constitutional questions. Therefore, if some of those questions have to be questions similar to if you were, like a hypothetical question, if you were voting on a bill, or if you were, voting in the city council on an issue where there was federal funding coming in for such and such, What would you do? Would you vote for that bill? Would you ask questions? Blah, blah, blah. And so you kind of give them a multiple choice. And if they don't answer that question as I would vote against that because it's unconstitutional, then they don't get it. They don't understand it. And they need to be taken back, you know, basically been told to say, you know, it's one thing that you're running and we appreciate the fact that you're willing to take this flack. However, you just don't understand the Constitution. And so we got to nurture you a little bit before you're really ready for prime time, because that's what you have to do in controlling the brand. That way you do this, you go down this path, and down the road, we will never have McCain's ever again wearing the Republican Party. You won't have that label anymore. We won't have people like that doing those types of things. It's one thing to be an individual, but it's another thing to do the things that you're doing and trying to undermine the brand and so forth, and basically embracing communism. Because plenty of the bills, and if anybody wants to get into the facts, plenty of the bills and plenty of the things that he has done has deliberately supported the progressive movement, such as the defense finance bill. I think it was in 2012 when he supported, and I think it was his injection into that, in allowing them to detain U.S. citizens, the military, to detain U.S. citizens indefinitely without a writ of habeas corpus and so forth. And just, it's unconscionable that he would do those types of things. But anyway, let me move forward, because it's time to send out a little bit of love instead of a little hate. And I'll just say this, that I have been going out to get you to support Chad Christensen for Idaho. He is the one legislator that has committed to supporting the Constitution, and therefore he needs help getting across that finish line. And I appreciate those who have been helping, but we need to get him, because they've running into the last weekend, get some money into some ads and some content time out on the local radio stations. This stuff costs a little bit of money. I know it's Idaho, so it's not LA. And so it's a lot cheaper to do that. That's why we don't need big contributions. Just a $5 contribution. Please commit to yourself to say, I am going to make this happen. I am going to make an effort, and I am going to help try to be a part of the solution and not be a part of the problem. That, therefore, throwing $5, $10 out to Chad would be greatly appreciated, even $20, whatever you can afford for this go-around to get this guy across the finish line. We have more coming up for South Dakota. We've got North Dakota. We've also got Kansas, Utah, and we've got Wyoming. And so I'm going to have more folks for you, but I just would like to see this guy get across the finish line so that the dialogue is going to begin in these six states. And he's the only one that we could get to commit. It's kind of ironic, but I will just leave it at that. There's plenty of others that are out there that seemingly good, but I'm telling you, if you're not willing to make the commitment in that oath that you're taking, then why in the heck are you running? Because you have to take that oath, and therefore I'm going to call you a hypocrite by taking the oath and not actually stepping up and supporting the Constitution and defending it. And the only way you can do that is literally call out the federal government for all of its encroachments and all of its violations. That is your job. That's not me saying this. I've read this several times on this show. That is Madison saying that. It is you are duty bound to interpose and step up and stop unconstitutional government. And it is running amok big time. So anyway, let me move on. As I've always said, and what I want to do is kind of make this a mantra for you, if we're not using the Constitution to fight our battles, then we risk almost certainty in losing these battles. The only defense we have that can save us is the Constitution, and the only weapon that will destroy our enemies is the Constitution. And so with that, I'm going to jump into some ratification debates in contrast to the self-acclaimed front bencher that, you know, likes to talk about all sorts of good solutions. I'm going to get into the meat of this because I think it's important. Remember, Knowledge is power. And if I empower you with knowledge that I can prove that the federal government is behaving well outside their boundaries, then, and it's right here in the ratification debates, then I believe that you will at least have some motivating factors to act. I can't force people to act, and I can't force outcomes. But I do believe that reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree, which means that 9 times out of 10, they will act upon the empirical data or the knowledge that they've obtained. And therefore, this very first snippet that I have, or little citation, is from Mr. Nicholas. And he is, and this is on page 64, he says, "But it is complained that they may suspend our laws. The suspension of the writ of habeas corpus is only to take place in cases of rebellion or invasion. This is necessary in those cases. In every other case, Congress is restrained from suspending it. In no other case," and let me point out here that only this has been suspended, and as a matter of fact, McCain was supporting the suspension of the writ of habeas corpus for anybody that not, and he's saying right here that this isn't, just because you're labeled as a terrorist. This is in case of a rebellion, this big, huge insurgency or invasion, then they suspend it. And the only entity that has the authority to do that is Congress, not the president, which President Lincoln overstepped his constitutional boundaries and suspended habeas corpus without Congress's approval or without Congress doing that. Anyway, so Congress is restrained from suspending it. In no other case can they suspend our laws, and this is a most estimable security. But the influence of New England and the other northern states is dreaded. There are apprehensions in their combining against us. Not to avert to the improbability or the illiterability of this idea, it must be supposed that our population will, in a short period, exceed theirs, as their country is well settled and we have very extensive uncultivated tracts. We soon will outnumber them in as great as a degree as they will do us at this time. Therefore, this government must, I trust, will last to the remotest ages, will be very shortly in our favor. Treason consists in levying war against the United States or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. The punishment of this is well-defined crime is to be declared by Congress. No oppression, therefore, can arise in this ground. This security does away with the objection of the most grievous oppressions might happen under color of punishing crimes against the general government. The limitation of the forfeiture of life of the criminal is also an additional privilege." And so he's kind of going through this, but what was really important that I pointed out to you was the suspension of habeas corpus and how only Congress has this power and has this authority to do this, and that it can't be done in cases of people that are being considered terrorists, because even though you may be a terrorist, you're not really driving a rebellion. A rebellion is a full onslaught of civil unrest, not just a protest, not just a few protests in cities. It is literally skirmishes of war and so forth. I mean, if you look up what the definition of a rebellion is, and not the attitude of a rebellion, but the actual activity and the insurgencies of a rebellion. And you will find that habeas corpus was one of those things that was guarded, and it was supposed to be guarded, by our very own representatives in Congress. Therefore, when we come down to that road, or when we come down to that crossroad, and they all of a sudden say, you know what, we're going to start suspending habeas corpus, just like McCain put in that defense finance bill, that is tyranny. That is literally an arbitrary use of power outside the boundaries. That's why these ratification debates are such beautiful documents, because they clarify all these limitations, and it takes away any type of question of the suspension of habeas corpus is for this. It's very clear when you read the ratification debates. And with that, I am at Heartbreak again, so we'll be right back after word from our sponsors. So please stay tuned. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. I'm working with key leaders and patriots and setting up rodeos for Republic Review in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. We're trying to promote engagement between you and your public servants so that you can start demanding their fulfillment of their oath of office to support and defend the Constitution. If you're beginning to understand what Republic Review can do and how it works, then America needs your help. More importantly, if you live in one of these states or know any patriots or patriotic leaders like an elected official, a grassroots leader, or someone who is politically active, then please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. We know that if we can get a strong attendance by both the candidates and the electorate, we will make an impact. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this audit process started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
And many people that I talk to want to know what they can do to get involved. There's lots of people that I also talk to that don't want to do anything, or they just try to avoid any commitments because they're really more enthralled with enjoying life. And I kind of remind myself of the contrast, and I think it was Aesop's or Aesop's fables, however you want to pronounce it. the ant and the grasshopper. Do you remember that? The grasshopper wanted to enjoy the summer and just, you know, bounce around and eat and so forth. And the ant was constantly grabbing food and taking it back and storing it up for winter. And the grasshopper said, "Ant, come on, play, be happy and, you know, enjoy life." And the ant was constantly working. And when it came to be wintertime, the ant was in the ground, well-protected and well-fed, while the grasshopper was out in the cold. Isn't it interesting, if you look at the, you know, just the contrast of ideologies, and you see people that are, you know, constantly working, trying to improve things and trying to, you know, make sure that we don't go off the cliff, and there's all these other people that aren't doing anything. And so they're kind of apathetic, and that's really bad. And I think that there's some things we can do about that, but I'll put that to the side. What I want to really convey is that if you're a person that is more of the ant, that wants to kind of preserve things, save money, you know, make sure that you're protected from a disaster, you know, some people are called those preppers, but preppers takes it to a different level. I just think if you're a conscientious American and you're trying to get involved, then getting involved in the local party, go to find out where your local GOP is meeting, find out where the Constitution Party meets, and go and attend. Go attend those two organizations. I'd even say go and attend the Libertarian Party as well. And look at their platforms, look at what they're doing, and notice which ones, you know, are really adhering to the Constitution. Because I've sat down in the Libertarian Party's meetings, I've sat down in the Constitution Party meetings, as well as the GOP party, or the GOP, and I've pointed out to all three that they're all embracing big government. They don't identify the real problems, and they're all culpable in these problems. Well, if you're going to complain, if you're going to, you know, say that these are problems, then hopefully you're adult enough to step up and say, you know, I'm going to have to get engaged to help solve this problem. And that's what it takes. You can't just, you know, point the finger and poke somebody in the eye, because it's almost like, you know, telling somebody about the mote in their eye, this little teeny speck of, you know, dust or fragment, when you've got a beam in your eye. And so I would highly recommend that you start doing your local research and start getting active, get more people involved. You'll notice there's probably lots of precincts that are not filled with precinct committee officers. Go and sign up, become a PCO, and start getting involved. You will realize just how much, how closer you are to the finger of the pulse of what really happens politically. Then you could start voicing the importance of centering on the Constitution and making Constitution more important than the party. Don't allow them to destroy this nation, because the party comes first. We've got to make the Constitution come first, period. One other Nicholas ratification debate citation. Another argument against this disingenuous construction is drawn from that clause which regulates representation, which is conclusive from the words themselves. Representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states which may be included within this union, according to their representative numbers. Now, one of the things that's interesting that they're not talking about here is the 30,000 representatives, or the 30,000 citizens shall not exceed 30,000. In other words, your congressperson, or I should say your representative in Congress, not your senator, but your representative in Congress, should not be representing more than 30,000 people. Why is it that it's almost a million? It's 700 some odd thousand. Why is that? Because they decided to cap it, and they decided to constrain how many people could be a part of the Boys Club or the People's Club. And so the intent was, and when you listen to the debates of the Constitutional Convention and so forth, they couldn't fathom how one person could truly represent more than 30,000 people. Can you imagine almost a million? How is that representative going to know you? I mean, it's difficult enough if you're representing 30,000 people to really get to know your constituents. There's just no way. And that is what helps disassociate the representatives of who they represent by creating such a big pool of people or pool of water that it's just impossible for them to understand, you know, that pool of people or water. So anyway, as he goes on, as it was justly observed by the gentleman over the way, Mr. Randolph, they cannot possibly exceed that proportion. They are limited and restrained expressly to it. And so what he's talking about is that they are restrained by the proportion by their people. In other words, if you can only have 30,000, then you can't have more representatives greater than the 30,000. It's the same thing with taxation. The tax was to be apportioned per the amount of people. And so the state legislators have no check of this kind. Their power is uncontrolled. So they're going back and forth. And the reason he was talking about this is because I believe it was Henry that was complaining about direct taxation, or it may have been Monroe, because both of those complained a lot about the direct taxation thing. And they were basically saying that your taxation will be apportioned by your latest census, and which means your population. Therefore, they were pointing out that the state legislators don't have that constraint. They can dish out as much taxes as they want, and they can actually, unless it's in the Constitution, they can actually start getting very creative of how they can tax people. So that's how you can tell how liberal a state is, by looking at its Constitution and how well it constrains its legislative body from being able to take their wealth and take their property. Because a progressive state will allow the state legislators to literally take away your property, wealth, and everything else and tax you into homelessness. And I've actually noticed that in some cities and so forth, there have been efforts in, and here was an irony that was pointed out the other day at a political meeting I was at, where this gentleman was basically saying they wanted to increase property tax on the people so that they could take that money and give it. And this was in a county, or actually I think it was a city, very specific. And it wasn't Seattle, but it was a city anyway. They said what they want to do is increase property tax so that they can take care of the homeless. And so they started going around, and these Republicans started knocking on doors, finding people, and they started telling the story in fighting this campaign and getting out this word that basically says this tax is unfriendly to your neighbor, and what it will do is it will create homelessness. And they started pointing out these people that if their taxes go up just a little bit, they're going to end up losing their home because they can't afford the taxes. And that has been happening. And if you haven't noticed, in the city of Seattle, it is just crazy over there because they're raising taxes, taxes, taxes. And there are people that are now leaving, I don't want to say by the drove, but there are people that as these taxes start to hit, they're going to go, we can't afford this. And they're going to start leaving the area. What will end up happening, and this is the funny and the irony of all of this, is that in big cities like this, Baltimore and other places where people have wanted to move and live because it's so beautiful and everything else and so progressive, well, they raise the taxes to a point and the cost of housing just keeps going up and up and up. And all of a sudden, when there becomes a surplus of homes in the inventory in an area, what happens? Basic economics, right? If there's an oversupply and no demand because people don't want to move there because of the taxes, your property values will plummet. And so there are the natural consequences, putting aside the social consequences. That's just a natural economic consequence of allowing progressives to destroy our economy. And so I am out of time at this point. I want to have some more the ratification debates for you tomorrow. And that way we can kind of go through some nice citations from Madison, Mason, and others. I will have those all queued up for you. I am G.R. Mobley. I am Reclaiming the Republic with your assistance, and we will do this together because I can't do it alone. Thank you so much, and I'll see you tomorrow.